John 16, verses 5 through 16 on page 1069. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Well, this week I watched some friends pack for a vacation, and they seemed a little stressed out by that reality. And it brought me back to my childhood when my mom would start getting us ready for vacation weeks before vacation, right? We had to pick out our clothes for vacation so that they'd all be clean before we left for vacation. And we'd have to start lining up people to watch the dog or get the newspaper. Because if the newspaper's piled up at the end of the driveway, then all the robbers would know we're gone. And they'd come and rob the house, right? So somebody's got to get the mail. And then the house plants. My mom had all these house plants. Somebody's got to water the plants. There was all this anxiety about going on vacation. Does anybody in your family get that vacation anxiety? And you get in the car to set out on the road, and it's like everybody's angry and uptight. But it's destination family, Trav, and we can stop and hug it out, apparently, on the side of the road. Kept thinking how I was going to get Trav back, but I'll just be the bigger man, right, buddy? Okay, got you back already. Okay, so this anxiety about going on vacation, well, I married a wonderful woman who doesn't feel stress, and she doesn't want me to feel stress, and so we just decided family vacations, we're not going to have stress. So if we forget to pack something, well, we'll just buy it when we get there. You know, they sell toothpaste everywhere in the world. We'll be all right. And we don't have house plants. We kill them even when we're home, so we don't have to worry about them. Our pets are chickens. You know, our neighbors take the eggs, but birds are remarkably self-sufficient. Just leave some extra seed for them to scratch at, and they'll be fine as long as the raccoons don't show up. So it's really not that big a deal for us to go on vacation. So generally, we get in the car, ready to go, and we're happy and excited, and we love each other still, even as we start on vacation. But I remember the first time we had a child. So Hudson was maybe two or three, and Susie and I were going to go to a conference in Colorado, and it was the first time we were going to leave Hudson with my parents, for them to watch him without us there. And of course, I'm going, well, they raised me, everything's fine. But you get that parent anxiety, right? Are my parents going to feed him the right stuff? Are they going to give him ice cream at 9 o'clock at night? What if he gets an ear infection? Will they know? Will they always have his orange blanket with him so that he's comfortable? Will they read him the right bedtime stories? And you start getting this anxiety about, you know, will my child be okay? Well, I remember that first time we left Hudson with my parents, right as we were about to walk out the door and get to the airport, my mom goes, just a quick question. And I'm like, sure, what's up, Mom? And she says, if the plane crashes and you both die, who gets Hudson? Wow, talk about anxiety now. So now you have all these new questions to ask. Who am I going to leave my kid with? Who's going to love my child like I love my child? Who's going to grow my child up to be the Hudson that I know God created Hudson to be? So now we have three boys, and we still get some anxiety thinking about that. We haven't gone the two different planes to the same location yet, but maybe we'll get there. Some parents are like, yeah, we do that. But you ask these questions like, what if Susie and I were to die, who would take care of the kids? Who would love them the way we know they need to be loved? Who knows that with Tucker, if you take a bite of his cereal bowl before you put it in front of him, he will throw a fit and demand a new bowl? Who knows that Wyatt loves to play with somebody's hair as he's falling asleep, preferably Susie's because it's much longer than mine. He says my white hair is very stubbly. And that Hudson that, you know, if we're going to change our plans, he needs to know a couple hours in advance, our plans are going to change. Who's going to love our kids like we love our kids? And then you think eternal questions. Who's going to pour into our kids? Who's going to show them Jesus? Who's going to nurture their faith? Who's going to write Bible verses on the chalkboard by the breakfast table or on the mirror in their bathroom so that when they're brushing their teeth, they're memorizing that awesome Chapel Orange curriculum Bible verse for the week? Who's going to do these things? And I get anxiety thinking about that, thinking about leaving my kids but knowing that they will grow up to be the men of God that they were created to be. Well, as we read our scripture this morning, this is where the disciples are at. This is how the disciples are feeling. You see, at the beginning of the upper room discourse, back in even chapter 13, Jesus says, "The time has come for me to leave this world and go back to the Father." He says it throughout chapters 13, 14, 15, 16. He says, it's time for me to go. I'm going to leave. And the disciples are asking the question, how are we going to go on? How are we going to keep going? We followed you, Jesus, for 3 years. When you ate, we ate. When you prayed, we prayed. When you walked, we walked. When you got on the boat, we got on the boat. When you climbed the hill, we climbed the hill. We did everything. You protected us. You nurtured us. You loved us. You shepherded us. You gave us power and authority and all this. And what are we going to do now that you're leaving? In essence, how are we going to keep growing? How are we going to keep going? How are we going to keep thriving? How will this be? Well, Jesus answers their question. In verse 7 of the verses that Tommy read, in verse 7 of chapter 16, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away." It's for your good that I'm going away. I don't know how I would ever say that to my kids. It's for your good that mom and I are going away forever. That's a crazy concept. But Jesus says that right there in 7. I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. And immediately the disciples and me ask the question, how can it be for my good that you are going away? Well, Jesus knows that that's going to be a big statement. So he answers it real quickly in the second half of verse 7. He says, "Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." If I go away, the counselor will come to you. And if I go away, I can send him to you. Somehow things are going to be better for me if Jesus leaves because I'm going to have the counselor. Well, whenever I get to something in scripture, I go, the counselor, what is this? What is this word behind counselor? Now, this is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. When he says, I'm going to leave the counselor, he is talking about the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting because John, who writes this gospel, doesn't use the words Holy Spirit. He uses this Greek word paraclete. It's like parakletos, but paraclete. He uses this word, paraclete. Well, when I see a word like paraclete, I think, what does it mean? And one of the Bibles I have on my desk has 8 different English translations all side by side in a Bible. And so I started looking at this verse. So the NIV that you have in front of you and that I'm preaching out of this morning says, counselor. It says, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if you look through different translations, there's lots of different words. They take this Greek word, paraclete, and they translate it so many different ways. I made a slide up showing some of those ways. Comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, advisor, defender, support, redeemer, deliverer, mediator, intercessor, convincer, friend. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of translations of the word paraclete. Maybe you're even looking in your Bible now. Maybe there's one I didn't even mention. There's a lot out there. So immediately I go, I got to figure out more about this word. So I pick off my shelf, my encyclopedias, my Greek books, my lexicons, and I sit down and I read what a lot of really smart people discovered about the word paraclete. And there's a couple things I want to share with you because I think this is a big word. When John's talking about the Holy Spirit, he uses this word paraclete, and I want to know more about it. So I could talk about paraclete for the whole sermon, but we'll get to what the paraclete does and not just about it, about the Holy Spirit. But I want to share a few things about the Holy Spirit. One is that this paraclete word, it has a lot of action involved to it. It has this sense that the paraclete comes and doesn't leave you in the situation that he finds you, but he moves you through it. He grows you up in it. You see, my generation, I talked to my dad about it, and he said comforter sort of means that. But my generation, that idea of comforter and consoler, I feel looks more like that person that just comes next to you and kind of rubs your back and says, it's okay, everything's going to be fine. But they kind of leave you there. But this word paraclete has action. It has this idea that the Holy Spirit finds you where you're at and moves you to the place you need to be. I remember getting really sick in college. I'm a mama's boy. I didn't have my mama. I didn't have my chicken noodle soup and somebody to sing lullabies to me. No, it's not that crazy. I'm not that weird. But I remember just laying in my bed for like over a week. I wasn't getting up, and I lived with a bunch of guys, so they don't really care. Rich, you still alive? Yes, okay. But one of the guys finally came to me, Andy, and he said, Rich, you got to get out of bed. You got to get out of bed now. You're not staying like this anymore. He goes, I started the shower. Go get in the shower. You're going to feel better. Oh, I feel so sick. No, get up, get out of bed, go take a shower. So I got up, got out of bed, took a shower, and it's a miracle. I felt great. I was just a big baby like all the other guys out there that are big babies when we're sick. Wives, nod your head. Yes, we are. You really are nodding your heads. But he wasn't going to leave me where I was at. He had to move me out of it. He had to pull me through it. He had to get me to acknowledge that I didn't need to just sit there and wallow in it, but I had to get through it. And that's part of the energy behind the word paraclete. It also has some legal background, an advocate, one who the court appoints to argue on your behalf. The paraclete knows what's best for us, and they argue for what's best for us. When the Holy Spirit moves us in our life and prompts us to decisions and prompts us to do things, it's for our best interest. The paraclete is also an advocate. And the paraclete is also an authority. Jesus makes it clear throughout the upper room discourse as he teaches about the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit comes from God. It holds the authority of God, that this Trinitarian relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's the paraclete. It's not a little fairy Tinkerbell. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. It has the authority of the Trinity. The paraclete moves us. The paraclete knows our best interests, and the paraclete holds authority. So Jesus leaves this paraclete, this counselor with the disciples. He says, don't worry, everybody. I'm going away, but it's for your best interest because when I go away, I can send you the Holy Spirit. I can give you the counselor. And the disciples say, well, how can I grow without you? And Jesus says, because you can grow with my Spirit. And the first way that we can grow with the Spirit is because we are not alone. We are not alone. It says in John chapter 14, when Jesus is talking about the counselor. So John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit lives with us and will be in us. When we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we repent of our sins and seek to make Jesus our Lord, he gives us the Holy Spirit who is with us and in us. We are not alone. So many people feel lonely, though. I did my little Google search engine, facts about loneliness. You know that it's actually our high school kids that are with us today and our college students that feel most lonely in the world today? You'd think with all their Facebook connections and cell phones and the texting that they would feel most connected, but they actually feel most alone. And the second category of people that feel most alone, senior citizens, people in their older years. They feel alone, but I don't think that's just it. I look at a program like MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, that brings moms together, young moms, because young moms feel alone. They feel at home with their baby who's crying and colicky, and I go off to work, and they're sitting there going, oh my gosh, what do I do? And they come together. My wife found so much community and growth coming together with other moms that felt alone. Or us men, what do we say? Well, I'm a guy. I don't really need friends. No, we're lonely. We just don't want to say that out loud. We all can feel alone, and I think that when we're alone, we end up making bad decisions, or we start thinking poorly about things, right? That cycle of being alone, our brain starts playing games with us, and we start thinking thoughts that aren't wholesome and healthy and right and true. We get depressed or anxious. Loneliness isn't a good thing. And so Jesus makes it clear that you will have the Holy Spirit who is with you and in you. This Spirit that we define in 2 Timothy chapter 1, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-control. This is the Spirit that is with us and in us. And the Spirit leads us into relationship with the Father, and it leads us into relationship with others. My brother-in-law works at a church in the Raleigh-Durham area called Summit Church. They often preach from the pulpit and say, you cannot grow if you're not in relationship. If you're not in relationship with Jesus, if you're not in relationship with fellow Christians, you cannot grow. You can't grow outside of relationship. And Jesus is saying, you have the Spirit who is with you, who draws you into relationship with the Creator and draws you into relationship with others. Do you know that you are not alone? Well, Jesus wants to make sure that his disciples keep growing. So not only does he give them a Spirit that makes them know that they are not alone, that is with them, but he wants them to know that the counselor will come so they are not without guidance or truth. John chapter 14, verse 26. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The end of 16, the verses that Tommy read this morning. The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Spirit gives us guidance. It gives us truth. And everything the Spirit tells us will be in line with what Jesus taught and what we find in Scripture. You know, sometimes we hear people say some crazy things like, I think the Holy Spirit wants me to steal my neighbor's car. Really? Is that in the Bible? Because that seems like it contradicts something. But it's not always that extreme, right? I don't think the Holy Spirit wants me to forgive my sister yet. Well, wait a second. Let's test that to Scripture and to Jesus' teaching. Or my parents, they're a real pain in the butt. Not sure I can really honor and respect them. Wait a second. I don't think the Holy Spirit would tell you that, because that's different than what we find in Scripture. The Holy Spirit gives us truth and guidance that is linked directly to God's word, to Jesus' teaching, to the Father himself. And if so, then Galatians 5 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's be obedient to the Spirit. That when the Spirit is talking to us, he holds the authority of the Father and the Son as well. This week, I admit I have my good dad moments and my bad dad moments, but I was on my smartphone reading some news articles, and the one that caught my eye was, there are more injuries now on U.S. playgrounds than there ever have been. And I thought, U.S. playgrounds in the United States, I feel like they're so safe, they're not even fun anymore, you know? There's like 40 inches of mulch you gotta slog through, and then the climbing apparatus is like 2 inches off the ground. How are more kids getting hurt? Well, some Harvard researchers decided they'd figure it out, and so they went to these playgrounds to check it out. You know why kids are getting hurt? Because their parents are doing what I was doing. I think I see one of my kids. Where's the other one? Oh, wait, Facebook update. That because parents are on their smartphones all the time, more kids are getting hurt because the parents aren't playing with them. And in that moment, as I heard my kids playing in the leaf pile we had made earlier that day, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, Rich, go play with your kids. I said, oh yeah, that makes sense. I can find that in here. The Holy Spirit didn't say, yeah, don't worry about your kids. Don't play with them. Don't worry about your kids. Just focus on your smartphone. That's not in here. And I had that choice in that moment. Was I going to be obedient to the Spirit, or was I going to be disobedient to the Spirit? And I thought, well, I'm really disobeying the Father if I don't go play with my kids. And so in that moment, I made a good dad choice, and I put the phone down and went and continued to play with my kids. But I read a line in Francis Chan's book. He wrote a book, Francis Chan, cool author, great Christian guy. I really appreciate the way his view of the world and how he lives his life. But he wrote a book called The Forgotten God about the Holy Spirit. And he said this, many times the Holy Spirit calls us to do something, a particular thing, and we have the choice to obey or not. The truly startling thought is that by not submitting and totally trusting the Holy Spirit, I am not submitting to or trusting fully God. This is no small matter. That we can choose to be obedient or not to the Holy Spirit, but it's not just some feeling, it's really God. It's the triune God communicating to us. So Jesus made sure that we have the Spirit that leads us in truth, that guides our steps. Are we obedient to that? Well, the third thing that Jesus points out is he wants to know that we have help, that the disciples can keep growing because they have help. The end of chapter 15, Jesus says in verses 26 and 27, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am committed to the Great Commission, the same Great Commission that Luke's committed to and all of us are committed to, that we will go and make disciples. And this is a daunting task, right? My wife and I believe that Jesus put us in the house that he wanted us in, and that we are to be a light in that neighborhood, and that we are to help our neighbor on our right and our neighbor on our left and our neighbor across the street and others in the neighborhood know Jesus Christ, that we are there to be disciple makers. But that's a scary reality. Just to hang over the fence that separates you and your neighbor and say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? But my wife and I, we talk through and pray through a strategy of how are we going to talk to this neighbor and how are we going to talk to this neighbor. And What gives us great peace is that we know the Holy Spirit is going out in advance, that we have help to make disciples, that the Holy Spirit is already working in my neighbors' lives. And when they ask me a question that opens a door to talk about spiritual things, I can step into it with confidence, knowing the Holy Spirit is helping. Like parenting. All these ways in which the Holy Spirit is helping us make disciples. The disciples can keep growing because they're not alone. The disciples can keep growing because they have truth and guidance. The disciples can keep growing because they have help. When Susie and I were having that crazy discussion about who gets our three boys if we both die, that was a big discussion for us. Because it wasn't just about who's going to provide the nicest house or the most cereal or the nicest clothing or the best backpack for school. No, we wanted to know who was going to make sure that our kids were not alone. Who was going to surround our kids with love and grace and truth and peace. Then we asked ourselves, who was going to be there to give our kids guidance and truth? Who is going to lead our kids towards Jesus Christ? Who is going to nurture our kids' faith and steer them towards their Creator? And who will be there to help them? Who will be there to aid them in this journey of faith? Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. He left for our good so that we could have the counselor, the advocate, the supporter, the redeemer, the initiator. We could have the paraclete, the Holy Spirit that makes sure we know we are not alone. And we are not living blindly, but we have truth and guidance through him. And with him, we have help to accomplish what Jesus has given us to do. Last week, you all got a Connect card, and I've got my Grow card here. And if you're sitting on the end of an aisle, just check and see, or an end of a row, check and see if you got a basket near you. You may have to scoot over a couple seats, but grab that basket and pass this card down the row if you would. Because in this series, as we talk about connecting and growing and serving, we're asking ourselves, are we really growing? Do you believe that Jesus isn't just going to leave you where you are, but he's going to grow you into who he created you to be? And in that, do you believe that you are not left alone to do it? That you are given truth and guidance and along the way and help to accomplish the work that he has set out for us to do? As Alex and the band play, maybe you can ask yourselves some of these questions on the back or work with them in small group this week. Am I experiencing growth in Christ? Am I experiencing growth with community? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit has given you gifts and talents that you need to put together with the rest of the community to better glorify him? Am I helping others grow in Christ and community? Are you making disciples with the help of the Holy Spirit? Let's ponder these things.